We're going to have Matthew come, and he's going to take it from there until further notice. So Matthew Rose, please come and present your family and whatever you're going to do.
Well, good evening, church. It's good to see all of you. We were here about 7 years ago, and you all graciously took our family on for support, and we're thankful for your faithful prayers for us over these years and your support of us. So I want to introduce my family. My name is Matthew. Our last name is Rose. I'm going to have my wife and children stand if they can. So my wife, Rebecca, here in the pink, mauve, purple, whatever you want to call it. People will disagree with me. And then my oldest daughter, Deborah. Deborah, you can raise your hand. And then Hannah. And then Esther, Lydia, Priscilla, and Jason, our last born, our only boy right now, Jason. Thank you so much. You all can be seated. So we are church planting missionaries in Kenya, East Africa. And one person one time said, Kenya, that's in South America, right? No, it's not South America, it's Africa. So Kenya, East Africa. And we arrived on the field about 5 years ago, and during our first term, God allowed us to see many people trust Jesus as their Savior, and we praise God for that. God has helped us establish an independent Baptist church in Kericho. Kericho is a town in western Kenya. You're going to see it on the video in just a moment, but the opening of that church and the souls that have been saved are fruit to your account. You have a part in that work through your prayers and your support of our family. And we want you to know how thankful we are. And so as we watch this video, which you're going to show right now, as we watch this video, as you see the different things that God has done, I want you to think in your heart, I have a part. I have a part in that. Okay, so we'll watch that now. Hey, thank you. I hope you were able to hear that okay. That's our first time running that video in a church. So was everybody able to hear?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So when we arrived in Kericho, our goal was to start a church. We didn't really know what we were doing, and we didn't know what God would do or how God would help us. We knew He would because He called us there. We knew there was no church in Kericho town preaching the gospel. There are many, many churches there, but none preaching the gospel. And so we knew the work was great. We knew what God wanted us to do. But as we arrived and we began to share the gospel with people, God made it clear that He had been working there long before we arrived. And it was interesting to see how God opened the way and how God spoke to people's hearts and see people start trusting Jesus as their Savior. And then they became serious and said, we want to learn more. We want to know Jesus more. And people began to be faithful at the Bible study every week. And then to see them also get a desire, okay, we need a good church here. And now they're a part of that church and they're still growing. And so when God calls and when God speaks to your heart and He leads you to do a certain thing, we know that God always makes the way possible. He always does. And we've seen that again and again and again. I remember one man. We had just moved to Kericho and we had rented our first house there. And when the landlord moved out and they left us the house, we agreed to move in on a certain day, and she left. And we got there, and she removed her flat-screen TV from the wall. And she had just painted the entire house, but she had not painted behind the television. So when she removed that from the wall, there was a big, you know, spot that wasn't the right color. And so I called her. I said, you know, it's no problem, but we want to get that painted. And I said, can you give me the number of the man who painted the house? She said, sure. So he came, and he painted. But we invited him to our Bible study. And wouldn't you know, he came. That was a Saturday. He came the next day. And he trusted Jesus as a Savior there. And we were all excited. We were happy. That's great. But then he didn't come back. And he didn't come back, and he didn't come back. It was several months. But then he came back, and he brought his wife and his children. And that day, she heard the gospel for the first time. And a few months later, she trusted Jesus as her Savior. And then their oldest son trusted Jesus as his Savior. And then their second-born son went to youth camp with some of our young people. He and his sister, the next two children, trusted Jesus as their Savior. And so that's how God brought one whole family to our church, and all of them have followed in baptism also. And so now they have one son remaining. His name is Shadow. And we're praying that one day, soon, Shadow will trust Jesus as his Savior. I think Shadow is 10, am I right? One of my children helped me, 10 years old. Yeah, so he's still young, but we're still praying for Shadow. But that's an example of what God can do. And I think it's impossible, but God can do it. And we praise God for that. We'll be returning to Kenya. We just got to the States, but we'll be returning to Kenya in May. So between now and May, we're going to be visiting all of our supporting churches, or at least trying to visit all of our supporting churches like you all, to give an update on what God has done in Kenya so they can praise the Lord with us. And then we'll be returning to Kenya in May. And as we go back, we want to continue working to evangelize Kericho Town. I think you heard in the video there's 68,000 people living there. Many of them still do not know Jesus as their Savior. Many of them are confused. Many attend church, but not a good church. And if the churches that they attended were here in the States, we would label them a cult. That is the kind of things that goes on in the churches there, most of the churches in Kenya. And so the people have what the Bible says, a form of godliness. They know God's name. They know the name of Jesus. They say they respect the Bible. They want to know God, but they're being told the wrong way. And they're thinking that their goodness will take them to heaven. And so there are many, many people who still need to hear the gospel. And our church members still need to be taught more. They need to grow more. And so our work there is not yet finished. So we'll be returning. And as we do that, we ask that you continue to pray for us. And we're very appreciative of the prayer support that you've given us to this date. We would also like to purchase a piece of land for our church plant. The people have been working hard. We started saving money for a piece of property in February. The church members have been giving. So over 6 months, they've saved about $500 US dollars. So in Kenya, the economy is very different from here. And a lot of things you can get them very inexpensively. Land is not one of those things. For some reason, land is very expensive, especially in town. And so like a quarter acre, just with nothing on it, quarter acre runs anywhere from $10,000 to $20,000. And the people in 6 months have saved $500. So you can see there's a little bit of a gap there in ability and what is needed. And I've told my wife, I've told my pastor, our sending pastor, you know, I don't mind helping people if I know that they are working also. And they have been giving, they've been taking special offerings. But while we're here in the States, we would like to, if God provides, raise about $10,000 to $20,000 to be able to help the church get a piece of land where they can then build their building. So that is something we are praying for, something we would like to see God do when we return to Kenya. So, with that said, I don't know if anyone has any questions. Real quick, before we get into the message for tonight, concerning our family or our work in Kenya or any specific questions from the video or really anything. Anyone? I saw your hand first, sir. So we actually got to Kenya on the tail end of COVID. We arrived the end of 2020. But COVID did not spread in Kenya the way that it did here in the U.S. I'm not sure why that is, but it did not. But things were There were curfews in place. There were lockdowns in certain areas. You could not leave a certain county. So when we arrived, things were starting to loosen up a little bit. So that did not affect the beginning of our ministry very much at all. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good question. Yes, ma'am, here.
What was the dollar value? Like the U.S. dollar is worth...
Okay, so in Kenya they use shillings. That's a holdover from when it was a British colony. So they, 1 shilling is about 1 cent. So, yes. So if you see a figure written, like a price written in Kenya, so if it's like 5,000 shillings, that would be basically $50. You just move the decimal over. Yeah. So, good question. Yes, sir.
So in some countries, because their currency fluctuates so much, many countries will list property in U.S. dollars. Is that what they do there?
No, sir, not necessarily. Especially where we are in Kericho, there's not a lot of... It's mostly Africans, so things are listed in the local currency. Yes. Good question. Yes, sir.
Do you have relative liberty to do as you please within the bounds of the law, or is the government an impediment in any way?
We do. So we are, in that respect, Kenya is a lot like here. You're free to distribute the gospel literature. You're free to talk with people about Christianity. The people in Kenya enjoy a lot of freedom religiously that way. Yes. So that has helped us. Much. And even when we talk with people, there's an openness to talking about spiritual things. I know sometimes here that, you know, it seems like people, why are you talking to me about this? You know, but in Kenya, they're usually stop and they'll take time to talk with you. So we've seen that openness in many ways. It's been very good. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Good question. So they speak Swahili, mostly. So Swahili is the official trade language. English is also an official language. So if you're in the capital city, Nairobi, they will use mostly English, even though when they talk to themselves, they'll speak in Swahili. But if they're talking to you, they'll use English. And usually it's very fluent English. Where we are working, English is used also, but it's not as fluent. So we speak a lot in Swahili, yes. But good question. And then Kenya is made of 42 different tribes. So Swahili is like the main trade language, but every tribe also has their own language. So when I said on the video that the people we're working with is the Kipsigis ethnic group, so they speak Kipsigis or Kalenjin. Yes. So language is not cut and dry in Kenya like it is here. So, good question. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
Relatively safe. We've heard here in the States, we've heard a lot of sad stories of what's been going on in Africa. I know it's mm-hmm. a huge continent, but
yes.
Is there political unrest?
Kenya is mostly secure, and there are times when you will hear on the news here, I know it makes like international news, they will have violent protests or things like that, and then they'll have clashes with the police. When those things happen, we just stay at home. That's out on the street with protesters, and we just stay away from it. But we enjoy very, very good security, mostly where we are. Good question. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
In Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd.
Yes.
Did you say that in Swahili? Or something close?
I could read it in Swahili. I don't have that one memorized. Maybe, can I just do it in... let me do it just the first verse. Okay. So let me find it on my app here. Well, can I do John 3:16 instead? Okay, so this is Yohana 3:16. Kwa mana jinsi hii Mungu aliupenda ulimwengu hata akamtoa mwanawe peke ili ila kila mtu amwaminie asipote bali awe na uzima wa milele. You know that one in English, right? Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yeah. So, yeah, that's basically word for word the same as English. You know, sometimes the Swahili is a little different, but that verse, it's basically word for word. Yes. Oh, good question. Okay, anyone else? Oh, that's good. We appreciate you all. I'll try to share a few more stories here as we look at the Bible together. But I want us to go to the book of Genesis, chapter 18. So, if you know the story of Abraham and his wife Sarah, then you will be familiar with this passage of Scripture. Genesis chapter 18. So this is the time when Abraham was visited by three men, two of which were angels who later went to Sodom and Gomorrah before God's judgment fell. One of these three men was God himself. So we'll begin reading in verse 1, Genesis chapter 18. It says, "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day." That's how we know this third man was God. It says very clearly, the Lord. Verse 2, "And he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. For let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant." And they said, "So do as thou hast said." And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth." And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto the young men, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. So that is kind of like all introduction now, helping us see what is going on, setting the scene for us. Let's look at verse 9. "And they said unto him, Where is Sarah, thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? Verse 13, "And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh." And so I wanted to look at this passage tonight and think about this question that God asked Abraham: is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? What is the answer to that question? Someone tell me.
No.
No. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. And this story reminds us that God can do anything that he wants to do. God can do anything that he wants to do through anyone he chooses, because there is nothing too hard for him. God simply wants us to believe him. God simply wants us to believe him. Abraham and Sarah were old. They were childless. She was barren. From the time that they had been married, she had never conceived a child. And now they're in their old age. Abraham is 100. I want you to look over at chapter 17. Just look back at chapter 17. Look at verse 17. 17:17. It says, "And Abraham fell on his face and laughed," the same as Sarah, "and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear?" So they were up in years. But God chose them. And God was going to do something special, something great, something big through Abraham and Sarah. He just wanted them to believe him. So as we look at this scripture tonight, I want us to remember that God can do anything through us. He just wants us to believe. So number one, the first principle we see tonight is this: God wants to do something great in and through our lives. God wants to do something great in and through our lives. When we think about Abraham and Sarah, it's pretty clear what God wanted to do. We have the story written in front of us. God promised to give Abraham a son, even in old age. God promised to make through that son, through Abraham, a great nation, a nation of people for himself, the people of God, Israel. God made this promise to Abraham several times. If you go back to chapter 12, we don't have to go there, but you'll find the first time God promised Abraham, "I'm going to make of you a great nation." If you go to chapter 15, you find what we call the Abrahamic covenant, where God makes the promise again that he's going to give him a son, and that through that son, a great nation would come. Chapter 17, we just read it, God promised Abraham again that he would have a son through Sarah. And then we find in chapter 18, God himself appears to Abraham and says, "I'm going to return to you the time of life, this time next year, and Sarah will have a son." God chose Israel, the nation of Israel, to show forth his glory, his holiness, his righteousness to the rest of the world. That was God's plan, something great that God wanted to do. And it started with one man named Abraham and his wife Sarah and their son Isaac. But let's think about us for a minute tonight, right here, those of us who are here in our church house. A question for you: what does God want to do in your life? What does God want to do through you? This is a question we need to ask ourselves. I'm not you, you're not me. I can't know how God is working in your heart or how God has been working in your heart, but I know that God does. If you belong to Jesus Christ, if you are a saved, born-again child of God, God works in us, God leads us, God guides us. What does God want to do in your life? We know this is true for every Christian. God wants us to live for him. God wants us to become like Jesus. Just quickly, just as a reference, let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, we used this verse on the video just a few minutes ago. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15. The Bible says, "And that he, being Jesus, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him, which died for them and rose again." God wants us to live for Jesus. Look at verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is," what? "A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." God wants us to live for him and become like Jesus. We know that God wants us to shine the light of Christ to this lost world, the light of the gospel, to show forth God's glory. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. A very familiar passage here for sure. Verse 13, Jesus said, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." And then he used that as a comparison. Look at verse 16. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So don't hide the light. Let it shine so that men can glorify your Father which is in heaven. Glorify God. God wants us to live for Jesus and become like him. God wants us to let the light of the gospel, the light of Christ, shine through us and show forth his glory. But maybe there's something more specific in your life right now. Maybe there's a step in your life right now that you know God is wanting you to take. Maybe there's a change in your life that you know God wants you to make. Allow God to do it. Allow God to help you. Trust him. I remember when God led us to Kenya. My wife and I both, we did not feel qualified for what God asked us to do. I was serving as an, I didn't have the title of assistant pastor, but that's what I was doing. I was the youth director at our church, Grace Baptist Church in Hinesville, Georgia. We had done that for 5 years, and we had been praying, "God, what would you have us to do next?" And when he led us to Kenya, he said, "You know, God," my wife was a church music major at Bob Jones University. I was a pastoral studies major at Ambassador Baptist College. We're not missions majors, right? "And how do we do this? You know, I don't know how to plant a church. I don't know how to speak a foreign language." But God helped. God helped. I remember a verse that God gave to my wife and I both, separately, independently of each other, and we came together and talked about it later. I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. The Bible says, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." God does lead us and guide us. And he even appeared here to Abraham and Sarah, going to do. But they doubted a little. Let's look at this number two. Go back to Genesis chapter 18. We find when God wants to do something great in our lives, that there will be challenges in our lives that threaten to make God's plans impossible. And as people, we see those things. Right away, when God leads us, do this. I want you to do this. I want you to be like Jesus. I want you to share the gospel. I want you to show forth my glory. We say, I can't do that. Or maybe we say, I'm not ready to do that. Or we say, God, there's a certain circumstance in my life. I'm not able. Sarah and Abraham, for sure, had challenges in their lives that threatened to make God's plans impossible. Abraham and Sarah thought that what God wanted was impossible because of their physical condition. They were old. 101 was 90. They thought it was impossible because it had never happened before. You know, why would God wait till Abraham is 100 and Sarah is 90 to fulfill his promise? Maybe that's what they were thinking. God can't do this because he's never done it. But we know God did. God had the ability. Because of their physical circumstances, they doubted God. Both of them laughed at what God said. Abraham in chapter 17, chapter 18, we find Sarah laughing. They thought it was impossible. So when God wants to do something great in our lives, number one, number two, there will be challenges in our lives that threaten to make that plan seem impossible. And many times we'll be tempted to doubt God's plan, God's way, God's leading, because of our circumstances as well. You know what personality is, right? It makes me different from you, and you different from the person sitting next to you. What makes me angry might not make you angry. What makes you happy might not make me happy. These are personality differences. What you enjoy, I might not enjoy, right? Sometimes we have things that we call personality flaws, right? Like, I feel like I'm broken in this way because I tend to be like this, or you tend to be like this. Sometimes we say, God, you can't do that in my life because I have this personality problem. Maybe we think, God, I can't share the gospel with people. I'm not good with words. I don't really like talking to people. Sometimes we have financial problems. God, I can't serve you in this way, or this change can't come in my life because I'm just not ready financially. Sometimes there's family problems. Maybe parents or siblings or even extended family, husband, wife, some reason that we think, God can't do that in my life because of this person or because of this problem. Health problems sometimes. I know you all think I'm young, I know that. But I'm 2 years shy of 40, so how many of you have not yet reached 40? Okay, that was kind of funny. I said, how many of you have not yet reached 40? And then some of the hands went up and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm pretty sure you've reached 40. Okay, but so I'm not alone, okay? But how many of you are getting really close to 40? Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. So some things hurt that didn't used to hurt, and then you think, okay, all the old people that told me, just you wait, you know. That's kind of where I'm at now. You know, you get up in the morning, it's like, okay, I just slept all night, but that still hurts. So I know as we get older, there's health problems. There's physical problems with our bodies. And sometimes we think, God can't use me. God can't do anything great or big in my life, or I can't change, or I can't start a new thing because of this. So when God wants to do something big, there's always going to be those challenges in our lives that make things seem impossible. God, you can't really do that. I shared one story with you a few minutes ago about a man, his name is Jerome, and his family who trusted Christ as their Savior. I remember another young man, his name is Meshach. You saw him on the video when George Waititu and I were out evangelizing. A young man named Meshach was with us. He's 19 years old. When I first met Meshach, he was 15. His dad is a drunkard. He doesn't really know him. His mom left him in Carrizo Town and returned to her rural home hours away. He was living with a cousin in basically a rundown shack, and he's attending elementary school as a 15-year-old because he kept being set back and set back and set back and set back. But Meshach received Jesus as a Savior. He came to the Bible study one Sunday morning. He just happened to be in that same park where we were having the open-air meeting, and he came up and he heard the gospel. And then we watched God change Meshach little by little by little. Later, he came and said, you know, Brother Matthew, I've used drugs. All of my friends have used drugs. And he said, I don't know how God saved me. But he did. And there's no reason that Meshach should be serving Jesus Christ today, except that God said, Meshach, I have good plans for you. And I want to do something big in your life. God can. God can do it in your life also. Number three, here back in Genesis chapter 18, we find this. When God wants to do something big in our lives, he wants us to believe him. He wants us to believe him, even when his promises don't make sense. We have the word of God. Everything in this book is true. The promises in this book that are for us, we can trust them. Because God never tells a lie. The book of Titus tells us that. He cannot lie. And he wants us to believe him. Even when those promises don't make sense. We think of Sarah and Abraham. They were thinking in their minds, God, you can't do this because... Go to verse 13, chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, verse 13. And when I read this, I'm very thankful for how good and how kind God is when we make the mistake of doubting him. Look at verse 13. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Notice, God was not angry. God did not scold Sarah for laughing. Instead, God comes and he reminds her with a question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? You tell me the answer. No. So it was a gentle reminder, Sarah, I am God. I can do anything. Trust me. Trust me. It was a rhetorical question. It was the way God chose to remind Sarah, believe me. Just believe me. God reminds us of this same truth several times in the Bible. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 37, the time the angel Gabriel came to Mary. Luke chapter 1, verse 37. Notice, he was telling Mary about her cousin Elizabeth, who also was barren, but yet was pregnant with John the Baptist. Verse 37, he said, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. God can do anything. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? No. Mark chapter 10, verse 27. Mark 10, 27. Jesus was talking about how hard it was for rich men to enter the kingdom of heaven, and he compared it to a camel going through the eye of a needle. And they asked, who then can be saved? The disciples said, if it's that hard, who can be saved? And notice what Jesus said, verse 27. Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. So God wants us to believe him even when his promises don't make sense. Even when God is leading you in a way that to you, you say, God, we can't do that. Let's remember who is in us, who is working through us, who has made the promises to us. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. You know, the only thing that God asks of the believer, the only thing that God asks of us when he's leading us to do a certain thing, the only thing he asks us is to trust him. To trust him. You know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. God wants us to believe him, to trust him. When we arrived in Kenya, it was hard because we didn't know how God would do things. We didn't know how God had already been working in Kericho Town. But as we arrived, we first found a young man who we introduced on the video named George Waititu. He had been saved at another independent Baptist church about 2 hours outside of Kericho Town. As a young person, he met the pastor at that church, and he said, George, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? And George said, no. Later, he began attending that church because he was thinking, that pastor knows what he's talking about. So he attended. He received Jesus as a savior. He then went to a Bible college that was started by another missionary friend of ours, and he was trained there for the ministry. He went back to his home church about 2 hours from Kericho, and the church began praying for Kericho Town, which is where we're working now. And George moved to Kericho for the purpose of evangelizing. So he left his home area, moved to Kericho just before our family arrived in Kericho, and then God put us together. And so we've been working together. That was the plan of God. We found slowly from other people that many churches have been praying for Kericho because there is no good church there. Just seeing how God is working, putting things together, and then seeing how God provides people that are ready to be saved, people that are ready to be discipled, people that are ready to be baptized, and ready to begin serving God. You know, God just asks us to believe him. There's many things we don't know. God knows. And he says, trust me. Go to Hebrews, our last passage of scripture for tonight. Hebrews chapter 11. Because I think this gives us it summarizes what happened with Sarah and Abraham in a very, very few words. So it will help us finish this message tonight. Hebrews chapter 11. And I want to encourage you, look at what God did through Abraham and Sarah because they believed. Because they believed. They trusted God to do what he said. Look at verse 11. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. When we leave the book of Genesis, we say, Sarah didn't believe God. She laughed. But when we come to Hebrews, we see Sarah's heart. It says, she judged him faithful that promised. When God reminded Sarah, Sarah, is anything too hard for the Lord? In her heart, she said, no. And she trusted God. Look at the next verse. Verse 12. This is speaking of Abraham. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. This is talking about the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. These men, Sarah, they chose to believe God. And they said, God, even if I never see you do this thing that you've promised, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. You know, I don't know what it will look like 10 years from now in Kericho, Kenya. But I know this. There are many people there who need to receive Jesus still. They need to hear the gospel. I don't know how many of our church members that we have right now God will allow to stay in that area. Many people in Kericho come, and they come there for work. They come from outside. It's a town. It's not a rural village, and so that's where they're from. They just come and work, and they live until their job is done. Most of our people have lived there for many years, and it doesn't look like they'll be moving away, but maybe God would move one of them away, or some of them away, maybe even all of them away. My wife and I and George, who's working us, we can spend time thinking about all those things, or we can just trust God. God, this is something that you have done. This is something that you have started. These are the people that you have put together, and we know you want us to grow. And we know that you want these people to continue to learn and become strong and be able to serve you in this church and reach their friends and their family, their neighbors. So God, do something that only you can do. God just asks us to trust him. So let me ask you, what is God doing in your life? What is your next step moving forward for God that he wants you to take? Just trust him. Remember, there's always those challenges in our life that say what God wants to do is impossible. But it's not impossible. Because remember, question, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you know our hearts. You know the way that you have been leading us and working in us. Those things that you have been showing us, changes we need to make in our lives, the next step that we need to take for you. Help us to just walk by faith, not by sight. Help us to trust your promises. Help us to remember that you can do anything that you want to do, using even us. We pray that you'll help us to be faithful, to trust you, just like Abraham and Sarah. And we ask these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.